We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, guy covered the Yankees for many years, now big time writer at MLB.com, and that is Mark Feinsand. Mark, Joe and Evan.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you? Happy holidays.
Tremendous. Same
Happy
to you.
Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Look at you. You landed an exclusive interview with Manny Machado. Now, here's my question, because my interpretation is Manny had to do this. He had to try to do some damage control from the comments he made to Ken Rosenthal. Did you take it the same way, that this was a almost like a political move to try to ease any concerns over the comments that he made?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that was part of it. I've been trying to get this interview for a while, and finally I was able to get it. And, you know, I'm sure that at some point he was going to have to come out and say something, because otherwise it would look like he was probably just trying to hide away and hope it would disappear, which, as we all know, these things don't tend to disappear, especially when you're, you know, arguably the top free agent on the market this year. So, yeah, you figured he was going to come out at some point and say something. And, you know, I thought what he said made sense to some extent.
Mm. Is there any way that his price has come down so far that the Mets could actually sign him?
I don't know about that. I mean, Brody said they're going to be in on all free agents, so it's impossible, right?
Yeah, okay, hello.
Do you get the impression that he's adamant about being a shortstop, or is he open to playing third base, which is clearly his better position?
You know, that was the one area that I tried to get him to talk about that he just wasn't really interested in discussing. I think he wants to be a shortstop, but he's not. You know, I don't get the sense that he's locked in to say, anybody who doesn't want me to play shortstop, don't bother coming to talk to me, because, you know, you don't want to eliminate teams that would, you know, be throwing $300 million plus at you to play third base. You know, I think given the choice, yes, I think he'd rather play shortstop. But, you know, I don't think it's a deal breaker for a team that comes to him, you know, with the right situation and the right offer.
It seemed like, because, and he mentioned this in the interview with you about being in Florida, being from Florida, living in Miami, that being in L.A. was tough. Do you get a sense that there is a little bit of bias towards trying to find a place on the East Coast, even if, let's say, and maybe it's not the Dodgers, but a West Coast team offers him a little bit more money, that there may be a preference to coming East?
I think the situation for the team is probably more important. You know, he talked a lot about getting to the World Series and how that really left an impression on him and wanting to get back there and win. You know, the only part of being on the West Coast that seemed to bother him was just, you know, he's used to talking to his family after games, and so obviously, you know, you leave the ballpark at 10:30 in L.A. and it's 1:30 in the morning in Miami. But he liked it out there. You know, he and his wife went on a vacation to Hawaii after the season, which is a nice easy flight from L.A. and not so much from Miami. So I think there were parts that he liked and parts that he didn't. He is an East Coast guy. He is a Florida guy. I wouldn't expect the Marlins or Rays to be in on him necessarily, but you know, I don't think he's against the idea of playing on the West Coast from everything he said. You know, I think being in the right situation, which in his mind I would think being a shortstop on a contender who's going to pay you a lot of money, there's the trifecta.
So who do you see as the leader for this guy right now? I mean, where do you think he's going to wind up, Mark?
You know, I don't know that there's a leader at the moment. You know, my gut has told me the Yankees all along, just because I think that's a guy they've looked at.
Right,
you know,
right,
even
right.
Before Andujar came onto the scene and had the season he had, you know, I've thought for a long time that Machado, not Harper, was the guy they were going to target. You know, they have more of a need in the infield through the years, et cetera. And I don't think Andujar's, you know, season is necessarily, you know, the reason that they won't sign Machado. Didi is out for the first half of the year. He is a free agent at the end of the year. And, you know, Andujar, we know he's not a great third baseman. He's, you know, can get better, but he's not, defensively, he's not very good right now. So he could maybe move to first base at some point, or they could trade him at some point. You know, I could see a scenario where they sign Machado. He plays shortstop for the first half of the year while Didi's out. And then when Didi comes back, they deal with it. You know, we saw the Brewers have an abundance of infielders, and they made it work. You know, maybe Andujar gets some DH at-bats in the second half. Maybe Didi's not going to play every day when he comes back. I mean, none of us have any idea how that would play out.
Right.
But again, Didi's a free agent. So after the year, maybe Didi walks and you've got Machado and Andujar. Maybe Didi re-signs and you move Machado to third and you move Andujar to first, or you trade Andujar. He's going to have 4 years of control left after next year. that's a valuable piece to trade for a pitcher or whatever you need. So there's some flexibility there. And obviously with them getting under the luxury tax threshold this year, there's some financial flexibility now. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Yankees make a move for Machado.
I think there's a lot of Yankee fans that look at this offseason and say, if we don't get Manny or Bryce, it'll be disappointing. Even if they have a good offseason, and so far it's off to a good start, they make a nice trade for James Paxton, and who knows what's next. And I think a lot of that is because we've heard for years now, getting under the luxury tax with an eye on a big free agent like a Bryce or Manny. Right now, do you sense that the Yankees look at Bryce or Manny as something that's a priority, or is it one of those things similar to Teixeira back in 08, 09, where, hey, we're going to lay low, we'll see. I remember Nick Swisher and Xavier Nady was supposed to be the first basemen that year, and then, boom, they jumped in on Teixeira. Do you think the pursuit of both of those guys would be similar to that?
Well, you just answered my question. That's exactly what I was going to say. They acquired Swisher in a trade in 08. He was going to be the first baseman. Nady was going to be the right fielder, and that was that. And, you know, the priority that year was pitching. They go and sign Sabathia. They go and sign A.J. Burnett, and everybody says, oh, look at what a wonderful offseason the Yankees have. And then 2 days before Christmas, they signed Teixeira out of nowhere, where it seemed, I think Brian Cashman had even said, like, that's a dream to be able to think we could go do all of that in the same offseason. So I think pitching is the priority right now. I think, you know, if they don't do anything to really improve the offense, they're okay with that because their offense is really good. But that said, they're the Yankees. They like stars. They need people tuning in on their telecast. They want people coming to the games, and stars sell tickets and draw eyeballs. And, it would not surprise me. I think right now pitching is the priority. I think, you know, whether it's Patrick Corbin, Jay Happ, there's some relievers out there, whether it's bringing back David Robertson or signing a guy like Adam Ottavino. You'll see some pitching moves because that is their priority. But I do think that they are laying in the weeds for a guy like Machado. And you just know that, and I take Harper out of it only because I just can't fathom, and Brian Cashman said as much the other day, I can't fathom giving a guy $300+ million to come play a position he's never played before. Mm. It just seems like a stretch when there are other teams who, you know, are going to be looking at Bryce Harper as a right fielder. So that's why I keep sort of focusing on Machado, not right. Harper. I just feel like, you know, you can't ever count the Yankees out on these things, and it's hard for me to believe that Machado's agent is going to sign him somewhere without at least checking back with the Yankees and saying, look, here's, you know, where we are, can you top it, and giving the Yankees a chance to do that.
Where do you see Harper going?
I said, if I thought Philly all along, if it wasn't going to be back to Washington, I still think Washington is a chance. I know that they pulled that $300 million
right,
offer,
right.
But just the same, the chances of Scott Boras signing Harper somewhere without going back to the Nationals and saying he'll come back for this, it just seems, you know, unlikely. So Philly's a team we've been hearing for years about how this is going to be the year they spend all this money. And, you know, we heard their owner last week say, you know, we're going to be kind of stupid with how much money we spend. Bryce Harper fits that. He kills it in that ballpark. It would be a blow to a division rival in addition to helping their own lineup. So Philly is a team that I think is the one to watch with a chance that he goes back to Washington.
Now, there's a way to make Bryce Harper more hateable to me beyond the Philadelphia Phillies. It's a perfect match. We're talking to Mark Feinstein from MLB.com. The Indians fascinate me because that division is going to be bad for maybe another year or two, maybe longer, right? I know Minnesota's talking about Paul Goldschmidt. I don't know how good they are. The Tigers are rebuilding. The Royals are rebuilding. The White Sox have a lot of good young talent, but I don't know if they're ready to win. So when I hear the Indians are open to trading Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco, I just wonder, what is the game plan? So do you look at the Indians as more just trying to tweak things by being open to trading some of their starting pitchers? Are they looking at a rebuild? What's the game plan right now in Cleveland?
I don't think it's a rebuild by any means. I think they know they're in a window where that division is theirs to lose for a couple of years here. But, you know, Kluber's 32, 33 years old and is an attractive contract-wise, having a few years of control left. And, if they can parlay Kluber into, you know, two, three, four players who they think can help them for the next 6 or 7 years, that's how Cleveland operates. You know, they're not a big market team. They're not a team that goes out there and gives out $100 million contracts. When they signed Edwin Encarnacion 2 years ago, that was a huge signing for Cleveland. And, they've got some guys in free agency this year, Andrew Miller, Cody Allen, Michael Brantley. I think they're always reassessing. I don't think it's a lock that they trade Kluber or Carrasco, but I think there's a decent chance that they do because that's how they operate. They're always looking at the next step. And I think the fact that the division is in a bit of a weak state right now helps them because they know that if they, even if they trade Kluber away, and they bring in some other pieces, they're still probably the favorites to win that division. Minnesota's got some promise. Obviously, they made the playoffs in 2017. You know, this year for them, Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano were both just disasters, and those were two of their best players the year before. So if those two guys can bounce back, Minnesota could be a contender again. You know, they've got a lot of money available to spend, and I think they could make some noise this winter on the market. But, you know, even if they do, you're looking at basically a two-team race in that division.
All right. Syndergaard, there's been talk about the Mets trading Syndergaard. I mean, I, as a Met fan, I really don't want to trade Syndergaard, okay? But I know that San Diego has been mentioned. What's your thoughts? Do you see that as a realistic possibility or not?
I think it's realistic in the fact of if a team comes and overwhelms them with an offer. You know, if San Diego were to come and say, here's three of our top five prospects from our really deep system, and, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. or whoever their, you know, other top prospects that, they, that the Mets might be interested in, then I could see a potential situation where they move him. But I think it's going to be one of those where, you know, it's not an automatic that they move him. But if some team comes along and hits them with the right price, they're going to have to be open to it at least and consider it. I think it's more likely that they go into the season with DeGrom and Syndergaard and Wheeler and you know, see how they can contend, see if they can contend. And if they don't, then I think you'll hear a lot of chatter, you know, come June and July about potential trades. Obviously, Wheeler going into his free agent year would be the first guy you'd think would get moved in that scenario. But, you know, at that point, you know, Brody and the Mets front office are going to have to just reevaluate everything and say, you know, where do we stand on this? What's our best course going forward? I'd be surprised if Syndergaard gets moved this winter. But again, you know, a team that feels like it's one big-time pitcher away might say, you know what, let's go for it and try to overwhelm the Mets.
On the surface, trading Syndergaard right now doesn't seem to be the wisest because his value is not at its peak. He's coming off another year in which he missed time. I would think that Zach Wheeler's value is at his peak. He's pitching the best baseball of his career. He's got a full year left before he hits free agency, especially after these arms sign. Dallas Keuchel signs, Patrick Corbin signs. I'm open to doing anything because I want to win. All right? I'm sick and tired of losing. I'm sick and tired of no creativity from this organization. So I'm open to anything outside of trading DeGrom. That's where I crossed the line. But do you think a guy like Zach Wheeler could get them back? Not July. I'm talking about right now. Can get them something significant back that helps them improve this lineup?
I think they could. You know, I mean, obviously pitching is not widely available. You've got some of those top guys on the market who are all going to cost money, you know, a lot of money. And then you've got, you know, the couple of guys like the Kluber, Carrasco types who have several years of control left who are going to cost you big-time prospects or big-time players. Wheeler sort of falls in the middle there. He's got 1 year of control left, so you'd have to look at a team that thought that he was a missing piece to contend this year. And teams like that typically try to do most of their shopping in the summertime. So I don't know that he's a guy who's going to get moved now. I also think moving him now would be a sign of the Mets saying, we're not sure if this is going to be a year where we contend, because if you go into the season with those three top pitchers, you know.
Well, but it depends what you get back.
Well,
I mean, I'm not trading for prospects. I'm not in the mood for prospects.
But if you're getting a position player back, you still have to fill that hole in the rotation. So unless they're going to go out and spend the money to do that, you know, the question is, okay, so who's the number three starter now? So, you know, I think pitching is typically harder to find than hitting. I mean, last year we saw some pretty good hitters unsigned into February and even March, and even later than that. I mean, guys who had good years, you know, Mark Reynolds, Matt Adams, guys like that who had nice seasons were available right up till opening day. So, you know, I think there are bargains to be had on the free agent market.
Well, how about yesterday? CJ Cron got DFA'd basically, and I know there's a 40-man roster deadline was coming up. He had 30 home runs last year, had an OPS over 800, so you can't even use the analytics. I know he's not really, he's got stone hands at first base. A guy like that getting DFA'd? I mean, that's kind of weird, Mark.
Yeah, I agree. And that, you know, I had heard all you know, offseason so far that he was not going to be on the Rays, you know, come mid-December. Whether it was a non-tender, whether it was them releasing him, whether it was them trading him. And I think they tried to trade him, you know, but I think most teams realized that the Rays weren't going to keep him. And it's a puzzling move for a team that, you know, he hit 30 home runs last year. Nobody else in their team hit more than 14. So you can say, well, why would they do that? But you're also hearing a lot of chatter about, you know, the Rays being interested in guys like Nelson Cruz or Josh Donaldson or Andrew McCutchen. So I think they're going to add a player, but for them, they've got a deep farm system. A lot of those guys have come up and done really well, and they had five guys they wanted to protect from the Rule 5 draft, and they decided that, you know, rather than paying C.J. Cron $5, $6 million next year in arbitration, that they could go out and sign somebody and protect these players at the same time. And, you know, for a small market team like Tampa, you need to protect those young guys, because if you have guys like that under control for, you know, for 6 years of big league service time, that's, you know, that's what their bread and butter is.
Mm. Do you see the Mets doing anything with free agency? Anything?
I'm sure they'll do something, Joe. I mean, you know, it's hard to say what. Right now we're all so focused on Machado and Harper and Corbin and Keuchel,
right.
These top level guys. I don't know that they're going to be on any of guys like that.
Well, of course, they got to spend money. They got to pay more than $10.
But that said, I'd be surprised if they don't go out and do something. There are a lot of good mid-level players on this market, and you know, you've seen a lot of those types of players really pay dividends for teams. But they've, you know, teams have to be patient with those, because those guys typically don't sign until some of the bigger fish shake out, and then you see the teams that have holes left. And so I think they will do something, but I don't think it'll be any time in the immediate future.
No, the Mets always do something. It's just never enough.
Right,
that's the difference.
Right,
they'll do something.
No,
just last year, they did something. Jay Bruce, Todd Frazier, Jason Vargas, and what's his name?
Yeah.
Anthony Swarzak.
Oh, my God. Anthony Swarzak.
When you look at this Mariner sell-off going on right now, all right, Gene Segura. Well, what's the matter? You're mad about the Mariners
sell-off? No, I'm just thinking of Swarzak. I just had a little I just got a little more indigestion.
Sorry. I thought you were bothered that the Polo's blowing up the
end. Oh, man. How bad could the guy? The guy just stinks.
Well,
I mean, it's just terrible.
You want to hear good news?
What?
He can't be worse this year.
He could be.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
He's still on our team, right? He could be worse.
He could be. Who's next? Is Gene Segura the next to go in the Seattle sell-off?
I would think so. You know, looking at their team back at the GM meetings when this sort of came out that they were going to be shopping some guys, you sort of labeled Zunino, Paxton, and Segura as the three guys they could trade to get some good value back for. You know, they're not trading Felix Hernandez. He makes way too much money. You're obviously not unloading Robinson Cano right now with $120 million left on his contract. Kyle Seager makes a lot of money, had a bad year last year. So, you know, Segura, Paxton, and Zunino were the guys. Well, Zunino's a Ray, Paxton's a Yankee. So, you know, Segura is the logical last guy. I'd expect to see him traded, you know, probably by the winter meetings. Jerry DePoto doesn't usually waste time when it comes to these things. He's, you know, a fast and furious trader. So I would expect that Segura would be the next to go. Where he goes, I think, you know, the one thing that could hold up that market would be a team that might be in on Machado. If they don't get Machado and still have a hole at short, then all of a sudden Segura becomes a pretty attractive option. So Jerry may bide his time for that reason only, just to see sort of where the Machado market takes him.
When do we start seeing the dominoes fall, if you will, Mark?
Well, you know, usually you don't see too much before Thanksgiving. I think some of the relief pitchers, relievers seem to be the ones that sign the quickest. So I would expect to see some of those relievers start to come off the board, you know, probably December 1st, somewhere around then, the next 10, 12 days, you'll start seeing some more action. You know, you'll probably get some relievers signed before the winter meetings. And then, you know, the winter meetings is sort of where the big fish start to really not necessarily sign, but you start to see some action there in terms of, you know, the agents are in the same room with the GMs, and a lot of the talk, you know, progresses to the point where they start really whittling down their team. So you'll see some relievers move, and then I think the big fish in Machado and Harper, Corbin, et cetera, Craig Kimbrell, you know, probably you'll start hearing some more details emerge about who's the real serious contenders, you know, mid-December.
Mark, excellent stuff. Good job getting a get by getting Manny Machado to sit down and talk to you. Good job out of you, and thank you for coming on. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, have a great Thanksgiving, Mark.
I appreciate it, guys. You too.
Mark Feinstein, MLB.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.